The indie farming hit Stardew Valley, where stylish pixel graphics will hook you as you build your perfect farm, is just one of the excellent titles available to play now on Apple Arcade. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Sifter.com.au.
Welcome back to Drop Rate, Sifter's review podcast. My name is Kyle Paletto, and in this episode, we're talking Rhythm Paradise Groove, or Rhythm Heaven Groove, depending on which region you're in. It's the fifth entry in the Rhythm Heaven series, first in over a decade. But before we get stuck into it, let's find out what's been making the news this week with the top stories on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast.
Hi, I'm Kat John.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
Here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, the 2nd of August.
GTA Online bans in-game gambling for Aussies. Let's get gambling banned. Full stop. Next.
Viral social game Mecha Chameleon has a rough week with dodgy malware maps and a Discord hack.
And jilted PlayStation fans plan to turn off PS5s to protest the end of physical discs.
Plus, we give you a preview of the most interesting games that are releasing this week.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
Joining me on the panel this week, we have Sifter's senior and social producer, Kat John, who once dislocated her knee on a DDR machine. Kat, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have rhythm game addict and Sifter producer, Naomi Jackson. Welcome, Naomi.
Hi.
Love a good nom high scream.
Was it too loud?
No, never.
I love that so much. All right, well, let's get started by just saying what made you guys pick this one up? Is it something that was already on your radar? Do you have a lot of history with the series? Nom, do you want to kick us off?
Oh, well, this is actually my first time with a Rhythm Heaven, Rhythm Paradise type game. But I was kind of on the fence, and then I heard really good things from Kat, who went to the preview. And so I was like, it sounds like I need to pick this up, and I haven't really put it down since.
And what about you, Kat? Do you have any history with the series?
Absolutely none. I was actually about to say, am I correct in saying, Nom, you picked it up because I convinced you? So I had no experience with the series whatsoever, but as Nom said, I went to a preview event with Nintendo. It was a joint event where we played the new Star Fox game and then we played Rhythm Paradise. And I was significantly better at one of those games than I was at the other. So, yeah.
You're really good at Star Fox, are you?
Oh, I'm just so good at Star Fox, guys. It's because I grew up with it. It just has so much nostalgic value for me, someone who was born in 2003.
Okay, brag. As my knees crack just to stand up to record this podcast. Okay, so this one flew under your radar. Despite both being, rhythm game fans, for some reason this series has just completely flown under the radar. Are you feeling pretty good about finally coming in on it? Has it been enough to make you want to dip into the other games even?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm gonna have to play the other ones. I've kind of watched them on TikTok. I don't know about you guys. I like watching videos of people play the old ones and like the wubba dubba dub, is that true? Like, I know that, but yeah, I've just never dipped my toe in before.
What witchcraft are you spilling right now? What?
Have you not heard the wubba dubba dub, is that true, from like the other Rhythm Heaven games? It's like a news reporter.
Evidently not.
Dropping a wubba dubba dub, is that true? And just completely expecting us both to be like, of course, yeah.
Of course.
I fully did. Yeah, I mainly play like Taiko no Tatsujin. I don't know if you guys have heard that one, but that's my main rhythm game of choice. You're like a little drum.
Is that the drum one?
Yeah.
It's at a lot of arcades. Playing that at arcades. I got my mum really into that. That was my mum's first arcade game. Oh, my mum's first rhythm game.
I always force Karina to play it when we go to any arcade.
So rhythm games and arcade games, there's kind of a lot of crossover there. I know there's a lot of these series start as arcade games and then have been kind of brought over to consoles. Do you both have history in physical arcades playing these rhythm games? Obviously, Kat, we mentioned you did dislocate your knee.
Yes.
The Dance Dance Revolution machine. Do you want to talk about that? Because I would like to hear about that.
I'd like to preface it with the fact that I have weak knees. It wasn't all the DDR machine, but I got really into DDR when I was in high school. Me and a couple of friends really wanted to, you know, in Scott Pilgrim, when it shows the scene of him and Knives and they're doing like the ninja DDR and they're like jumping off of each other's backs and stuff.
Yes.
We wanted to do that. We obviously couldn't because we were unathletic 15-year-olds. But we would try and do cool things on DDR and do like high level DDR levels at the arcade. We would like spend hours playing DDR. And I had a knee that was prone to dislocating. It was a bit sore one day and I went, no, nothing bad could possibly happen while playing DDR. And then I was on crutches for 3 months.
And because this is an audio medium, I do want to say that if you could see Kat right now, she has a heat pack on her neck from injuring herself. So there seems to be a running theme. Now, this injury wasn't on a DDR machine, though, was it? Was it, Kat?
Well, no. To be clear, this is that was the longest I've been on crutches, except for one other time, which was also me injuring myself doing something stupid, except that time I was on crutches for 6 months and I had to have knee surgery. So at that point, it's just me.
Poor thing. All right, let's bring it back to this game that we're actually talking about. So Rhythm Paradise Groove or Rhythm Heaven Groove, depending on where you are, it's a Nintendo game that is available on both the original Switch but backwards compatible on the Switch 2. What were you guys playing on?
Switch 2.
Yeah, I'm playing it on Switch 2.
These games are driven by the music. That is the entire point of them and it is where most of the focus goes. How did we find the music in this game, Kat?
Yeah, it's really boppy and fun. Ironically, I'm a person that I won't normally have sound on when I'm playing games. Obviously, generally when I play rhythm games, that fact is different, but I don't think I've actually had my Switch volume turned on since I got the Switch 2. So this game has been really fun for me that like normally I'm like when I'm playing a game to review or something like that, I'll sit on the couch in front of the TV and I'll just be playing it. I had to actually cut out time to play this because I had to be able to have the sound up and do all of that. But I actually really liked how boppy it was. Like, I know it's just from the first round of levels, but the level with the little umbrella people, where it's the first one that you do with the two inputs, I get that song still stuck in my head. And the little pacho, and they do the little bops. And Kyle does not look like he knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
Absolutely not. I should have prefaced this at the start that I have not played these games. I am here along for the ride and to be convinced to pick this one up or not. So, Naomi, what did you think of the music itself?
Yeah, well, I think it's great that they've included a bunch of different types of music. I was playing it with my partner yesterday and she was excited because there's kind of like a metal song in this game where a moon kind of sneezes and you have to dash really fast past him when he closes his eyes. There's also like J-pop type inspired music where you have an idol in the middle of the screen, as well as like the like classic boppy parcho, like all the little guys jumping over the hoops. This is going to sound so crazy to anyone who hasn't played it, but I love the variety, basically.
I kept going from feeling like I was a little creature to feeling like I was a magical girl.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Has there been any rhythm games where the music has been a deal breaker, where we've chucked it on and the music has just not been it?
I've never been able to play a Hatsune Miku one.
Because of the music?
I don't know why, because I appreciate Miku and like I can listen to like videos of Miku talking. But as soon as I get to the rhythm games of Miku, I'm like, shut the f- up.
I would say there's not like a specific game for me where it's like, oh, I couldn't play this because like there is no good song. But I sometimes when I'm trying to like 100% a rhythm game, there's always that one annoying one that I just, I'm like, can I please just finish this one so I never have to play it again? At the moment with Rhythm Paradise, it is the one where it's like hop, step, jump. And he just says that over and over and I'm so sick.
Yes. Oh my God. I struggled with that one so much.
It's literally my least favorite one. And it's the last one I got a medal for.
How did you go with the one where you're the little lucky cats and it's the rolls and the stops?
I found that one quite difficult from memory. No, I'm thinking of the one with the men with the rolls and the stops. Very similar.
No, yeah, the lucky cats. I think they're in the fourth round, maybe.
I find it hard to keep jumping and rolling at the same time.
And in that one, you're third in line as well. You don't realize how much you need that better that next beat.
Yeah.
Because when we did the preview, that one was given to us as this is the probably one of the hardest games in the solo.
See, yeah, my hardest ones are the one, the hop, step, jump one, and the one where the robot catches the pudding out of the sky.
This game sounds like a fever dream. And to be honest, every time I seem to talk to Kat about a game, the game sounds like a fever dream.
The problem is me.
Difficulty, like it looks like a pretty accessible game. Mm-hmm. What's the difficulty like?
It's impossible if you've got your volume turned off.
So, and after you overcame that obstacle, Kat, how did you find it?
I feel like the difficulty changes with each level, not even necessarily in a this level is hard, but then the next level is a little bit harder. It kind of like flips around depending on, you know, what your input is. If it's like a lot of the time, if it's four beats, then that you're counting to four beats, there'll be four creatures in a line. If I'm not the fourth creature in the line, if I'm any of the other beats, then I find that harder to count to. Nom?
Yeah, I think that it's great because for players that like a bit of difficulty, I found out that this game has not only the ability to get medals and the ability to get perfects, but then the ability to get rainbow perfects. And then once you've gotten a rainbow perfect, which is completing a song three perfects in a row with no mistakes, you can get a star perfect, which is when you play the song on night mode so you can't see any of the visuals, basically. And then after you get star perfects, you can then unlock a flow perfect, which is getting every single note basically like 98 at least percent accuracy. So there is so much to do if you're like a hardcore player. And then if you're not a hardcore player, I really appreciate the fact that, yeah, like Kat said, there's a lot of different kind of ways to play. There's this dog one that kind of makes you wait a bunch of beats before you press rather than really fast inputs. So I find there's something for every kind of type of rhythm gamer, which I really like.
You guys played both on the Switch too. Did you find any performance, you know, issues with the fact that it's technically a Switch 1 game?
Not necessarily the fact that it's a Switch 1 game, but I have found that if you play it on the TV, like if you play it docked, a lot of people are having issues, specifically with the Sneezy Moon game. Lots of people are complaining online that there's just a bit too much delay, even when they've synced it up with the TV delay feature that they have.
Calibrate it
over and over and over again until it feels right. Put headphones into the controller because you can do that, or play it handheld, which is how I've been playing it to get perfect.
That's really interesting that with a game that needs such specific input delay, even that slight delay from going from the Switch to your TV is enough to irk people, hey?
Yeah.
It's brutal.
They recommend to use wired, not wireless, because obviously there's the delay. When the game actually opens, it has that
for
recommendation.
Your headphones.
And from the main screen, for your headphones, yeah. And from the main screen, you can recalibrate. And at first I was like, because usually I'll play my Switch docked onto my second monitor. And then sometimes I'll take my dock out to a TV and I'll hook it up there if I'm the only one home. And when I swapped it, I was like, oh, you know, docked is docked. No. I might be the only idiot that thought docked is docked, but no, recalibrate. Every time you redock, even just having it that I disconnected the dock and then I reconnected it, recalibrate it.
Yeah.
It helps.
I thought docked was docked as well. So
docked is docked.
We touched on music and I mentioned that the, you know, visually looks quite like an easily accessible game. Nom, how do you feel about the visuals?
Oh, I think they're great. I think as well they've really put attention into making all of the characters very interesting and individual. There's this soccer game where as you're playing as the girl kicking the ball, she's thinking about her crush and you like kind of think, oh, who could that be? And then there's a sequel to every game where the character in the game has like almost an epilogue. So she has her crush kind of sitting behind her in the second game, which is really interesting. And then there's also ones where you play as kids in the first one and then the sequel, they're kind of grown up. So I love how like just through the drawings, it kind of tells a story as well as through the rhythm game music, because you know, with a rhythm game, it's kind of limited in regards to story. So I think that's really cool.
And Kat, what did you think of the visuals?
Like pulling on from what Nom's just said, it's really great because like the first time you're playing a level, you're not going to be paying as much attention to the visuals necessarily. Other than the actual cues that you get for when something's going to happen, I was like, oh yeah, this is cute, looking for the cues. But then the more that you play the levels and you start to notice those things, like then you notice the sequels and the connections and things like that. It feels like in the opposite direction of the, I'm really good at rhythm games, let me get a perfect star, gold, trophy, everybody loves me, whatever that was called, Nom, because let's be so honest here, I've not gotten that far. It's the opposite end of things where it's like, you know, it's for the people that maybe they're not going to be getting perfect on every single level, but they still get a level of replayability of something that they can find. There's an extra something to look for them.
Yeah, there are a lot of levels where they try to hide like characters that you've seen in the previous games as well in the background. And once you get a medal on a level, you can get some interesting facts that'll tell you, like, in the background of the Umbrella one, there's a cat cafe. And then you go and play the Umbrella one and you're like, oh, I've never noticed the cat cafe. Yeah.
It's interesting to me that when I ask about the visuals, you know, there's so it has so little impact on the gameplay because it's a, you know, it's such an audio-based gameplay. Both of you automatically just talked about the story, which was actually going to be my next question is, you know, what is kind of the storyline, if there is any. But it sounds to me like that's all told relatively subtly through the visual cues and it's just there if you want to look for it. Is that about right?
There is a different mode. So there's three modes that you can play. There's solo, there's the local multiplayer, and then there's a story mode. And the story mode does have its own story, obviously, otherwise it wouldn't be a story mode, where you play as like a sorcerer that has just woken up with no memories and you've got to work your way through dungeons. It's a steady four beats and there's speed to it. And other than that, that's all you're really getting out of the music. It's a lot more simplistic for the music, because you're just matching those four beats. You've got a little diamond and it's the buttons that you press at the certain points in the diamond, those four beat points or the half beats or whatever, is the spells that you'll cast. So then that brings in this whole other aspect of rhythm game where it's instead of focusing on the song or focusing on things like that, you're actually listening for the beats and the half beats. And like as a musician, I really took to those ones because I'm seeing it in my head. I'm almost seeing the sheet music of the spells that I need to cast. and I'm seeing what they should look like. So then when I'm hearing, sometimes I would go like a couple of beats without actually making a spell at all, just so I can get the song in my head. And then I would add in my parts.
It sounds like you're hitting that flow state.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what these games are so good at.
So good for flow state.
I was just going to say, going back to the story of that as well, it's a very anime storyline. It's kind of like, I'm going to beat the boss. I'm going to save the town. And then you go up to a boss and you beat it. And then you get a bigger boss. And it's just very, it's simplistic for a story mode. But like Kat said, it adds a lot of variety to the type of rhythm game that you play. So I do like that.
And we touched on a couple of the negatives, you know, mostly with the hardware. What about in the game? What do you think could have been done better or areas where you've felt maybe a little let down?
Oh, look, that's hard for me considering I seem to have a level of rhythm heaven / paradise autism where I just am obsessed with this game. Like I move with this game. If this game told me to not play with any of the music, I would do it. Like, you know, apart from the hardware, I'm just really enjoying it.
Who would you recommend this game to?
Nom. I already did.
Yeah.
I'd had my hands on it for maybe 20 minutes and I was like, Nom, you need this.
And Nom, have you been, you know, shouting its praises to anyone, recommending it to anyone in particular?
I have. Well, my partner is really into it and she's not normally into rhythm games. Like I normally have to drag her along to a drum set in an arcade to get her to play a rhythm game with me, but she's actually really enjoying this one. So I would say even if you don't normally like rhythm games, this might be a good entry point for you.
Great. Well, any final thoughts? And, you know, I think it's probably pretty obvious now whether you would drop or rate this game.
My final thoughts on this game are that I am probably going to be playing it for an extremely long time until I get all of these crazy achievements that I was telling you about, and I rate it.
Kat?
I definitely rate it.
No, Kat, where can listeners find you on the internet and check out more of your work? No?
You can find me on Blue Sky at Nomibelle, that's N-O-M-I-B-L-L-E, or on Sifter.
And Kat?
You can find me at Sifter. Our Instagram is at, and most of our social media is at SifterHQ. And we also occasionally stream on YouTube.
That's Rhythm Paradise Groove. Thanks to Nintendo for giving us a code for review. You can pick it up on Switch and it's backwards compatible on the Switch too. Naomi Jackson, Kat Jam, thank you so much for joining me. This has been Drop Rate by Sifter. Thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the theme music. Sifter is produced by myself, Fiona Bartholomeus, Naomi Jackson, Jordan Templer, Chris Button, and Adam Christou. Mitch Loy is senior producer and video editor. Kat Jan is senior and social producer. And Gianni DiGiovanni is Sifter's executive producer and script editor. That's all for this week. You can check out what Sifter is up to on socials at SifterHQ on all platforms, or hop into the Sifter Discord and have a chat with the team about what you're playing at the moment. That's at sifter.com.au/discord. I'm Kyle Paletto. I'll catch you on the next episode of Drop Rate.
Hi, I'm Chris Button, and on the latest episode of Lightmap, Alana Pierce joined me ahead of Alt Games in Sydney to share her plan to break the Hollywood curse of video game film and TV adaptations with her new production company.
Video games don't need Hollywood. We virtually have, outside of physical crew, every skill set that you already need to make something incredible. Many things that are already used in films, as games get more and more cinematic, we have someone on a dev team already doing. That vision is already there. One of the things that I'm working on right now is a live action sort of short for a studio, and they actually storyboarded the whole short in engine. But they did all of the storyboarding themselves in engine, and it's fantastic.
You can get every episode of Lightmap for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or sifter.com.au, and wherever you get your podcasts.